He's there because it's all about Him. Already been said this morning, it's about Him. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, we'll get you a schedule. Everyone that reads the Bible through in a year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge for fun, food, and fellowship. Now, remind me, let's try over here. Brother Matthew wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as a king, is right. And where does it start? Bethlehem's correct. Down through here, Matthew, Mark. Brother Mark wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant, is right. And where's his book begin? Bethlehem. How about down through here, Brother Luke wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as a man, is right. Where's his book begin? Bethlehem is right. Over here, Brother John wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as God, is correct. Where's his book begin? In the beginning, where else? In the bosom, that's right. That's exactly right. That's where we're headed. Brother Butch, would you pray for us? I left it. It's on Calvary. The blood purges the conscience. The soul cleans the soul. The blood allows God to justify sinners to come in. If it wasn't for the blood, we couldn't get in. If it wasn't for the blood, He couldn't justify receiving us. We had to have a sinless substitute because we're all wicked as hell. The blood justifies, allows God to receive believers. I said sinners. I meant believers. Believers are the one that received Christ and what He did, the work on Calvary. The work. The blood is the foundation for our title in glory. That's our title deed. Now that it's a done deal, I need to feed on Him. That's why we read the Bible every day. Not to check off the boxes, not to get a dinner. I need the delight in Him. I don't need more light. I need more delight. I need the delight in Him. I need to enjoy Him. He is food for our ransomed souls. Like the awards banquet we're talking about. We're headed to the awards banquet. Our past is covered up. Our past is covered. All that's left is to go open the presence.
Right.
That's what Buster Kinsey said. Said he was in line. It was Christmas Eve. He forgot a few things. He went back and he's got his stuff out of Walmart, out of the layaway. And there was a kid throwing a fit there, wanting some bubble gum. And he said all was left to do was go home and open the package. That's all that's left to do. We're getting ready to go home and open the package. Amen. It's all because of Calvary, where they crucified Him.
Yeah, amen.
We're still on track. We haven't got off track. I need to, now I've got Him, I'm ready to serve. Leaning on something or someone outside myself. It's not me. It's not about self. It's outside. There's something bigger than self. It's Spirit. It's the Spirit of Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that moved inside. If man's seeking for life, it's evident he doesn't have it. It's not works. It's not dead efforts. It's not trying, but it's trusting where they crucified Him. And that transaction that was done on the cross when the Savior took my sin and gave me His
Amen.
Righteousness.
Amen.
Only possessors of eternal life are ready now to work. Yeah, we're supposed to work. Yeah. But we work because we're glad about what's been done. Not in order to gain anything. I need to rejoice in the happy privilege of being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Personal vileness left behind. He washed. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it happened where they crucified Him. He got our deserts, what I deserve, that we get what He deserved.
Yeah.
We get what He deserved. The clean, the capital C clean, took the place of the unclean. So the unclean might forever be with the clean or be cleaned up. Naturally, I'm the foal of an ass, a donkey that needs its neck broke. That's how I was born. That's how I was born the first time. I needed to get born again and receive Christ to have a perfect sinner. Now by grace, I'm with Him. I'm already over on the other side, waiting on my brand new body. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. It's all Him. It's all on the cross. Now think about this. Watch this now. Watch me. I know we have trials. I know it. The world's... Israel had a path. The church in the wilderness had a path through the wilderness. But that wasn't all. It wasn't just a path. The Lord came down and walked up with them. He's with us. You don't have anything to worry about. I don't have anything to worry about. Everything's going to be all right. If the Bible's true, we don't have anything to worry about. Is it true? You sure? Look, here's what I tend to do. David said, I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul. There's your anxiety, preacher. Hadn't happened yet, but he's worried about it. You remember what did happen? Saul perished. Saul died on Mount Gilboa. Why do we go around saying one day I'm going to perish at the hand of Saul? Why do we do that? It's not why. Hey, Elijah fled from Jezebel. You remember how that ended up? Old Jehu come riding in on the chariot. He said, "Flag her down." And they flag her down 70 times 7. And he said, "Now whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection?" The dogs ate her guts out. We don't have nothing to worry about. And the reason we don't is where they crucified Him. Because of what He did for us. That's why we don't have nothing to worry about. Now if you don't have Him, if you never received Him, you better start worrying. You better now be a real good time to start worrying. Verse 4, John 19:4. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." We looked up several verses about that last week, but there's more. And we'll go ahead and tell you there's no fault in him. Amen. Let's see if we can confirm that. Matthew 27:4. Matthew 27:4, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." There's 4,000 years of human history before this right here, and there never was any innocent blood before that. There was animal blood. It's not which is better, the Jew or the Christian. It's which is better, animal blood or God's blood. Yeah, God's blood's going to get us in, not animal. We're no better than they are. It's the blood. It's where they crucified Him. It's who was on the cross. It's who they crucified. Betrayed the innocent blood. There's been 2,000 years since then, and there's not been any innocent blood since then either. Just one time. It happened one time. One time. Look at verse 54. "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God. Well, that not just was, it is the Son of God, and he's going to be still going to keep being the Son of God. He always was the Son of God. He always will be the Son of God. He always has been. He didn't make himself the Son of God. He was the Son of God. Let's look at it in Acts 20. I know you know this. It's nothing new. Acts 20, 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he, God, hath purchased with his, God's own blood. The innocent blood. That was God's blood that ran down the cross. We've been through it many times. That was God's blood. That blood can change Rick to Brother Rick. That blood can save a lost soul. That blood will put you in the family. That blood will take you to heaven. It happened where they crucified him. It's where they crucified him. We haven't got off key yet. Luke 23. Luke 23:14. Said to them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I've examined him before you and have found no fault." Yeah. There wasn't any to find. Have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. Verse 15. Nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. There's nothing worthy of death, no fault in him. Verse 40, still in Luke 23:40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Nothing amiss. We're talking about God in the flesh. And we read last week where he was delivered up by the religious leaders for envy. For envy. He had not done anything wrong. They didn't kill him because of what he did. They killed him because of who he said he was. They couldn't stand to be in the presence of God. Man with indwelt by God. Yes. Hey, wait a minute. That's you.
Yes,
yes
it is.
Hey, that's us. Yeah. That's a complete innocence. There's no justice here. Back to John, verse 5, 19:5. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." He's sidestepping. He's trying to get out of it. He knows he's innocent. He's more than a man. He's the Son of God. 2 Corinthians 8:9. The Son of God. We're not used to that phraseology much. That's the same thing as God the Son. The way they said it then, the Son of God, is the way today we would say God the Son. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace. It talked about undeserving favoritism. He did me a favor when my soul he chose to save. Is what the song says. How big was that favor? How big was it? I've been measuring it for a while now. I can't get it measured. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. He took our position with all its consequences in order that we might get his position with all its consequences. He was treated as sin upon the cross that we might be treated as righteousness in the presence of infinite holiness one day. He was cast out of God's presence because he had sin on him by imputation. Brother Dennis imputed it to me. That we might be received into God's house and into his bosom because we have a perfect righteousness by imputation. It was imputed into our heart. He had to endure the hiding of God's countenance that we might bask in the light of His countenance. He had to pass through 3 hours of darkness that we might walk in everlasting light. He was forsaken of God for a time that we might enjoy His presence forever. All that was due to us as ruined sinners was laid upon Him in order that all that was due Him as the sin bearer, as the accomplisher of redemption, might be ours. There was everything against Him when He hung on the cursed tree in order that there might be nothing against us. He was identified with us in the reality of death and judgment in order that we might be identified with Him in the reality of life and righteousness. He drank the cup of wrath, the cup of trembling, that we might drink the cup of salvation and the cup of infinite favor. He was treated according to our deserts, that we might be treated according to His. According to His. Verse 6. John 19:6. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw Him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye Him and crucify Him, for I find no fault in Him." It was a hate crime. It was a hate crime. It was a hate crime. I ciphered on that thing a while. I think I about decided all crimes are hate crimes. If I rob your bank, that's a hate crime, isn't it? Is that a hate crime? If I take your parking space, that a hate crime? No heart, no feeling. Pilate washed his hands in water. Water won't clean the heart. It's going to take the blood. You got to go to where they crucified Him. Well, everybody cries either crucify or crown. Crucify Him or crown Him. Verse 7. But the Jews answered, "We have a law." Oh, we have a law. We have a law. Oh, brother. Spare me. We have a law. Well, I'll tell you what, it's not the same law as Leviticus 24:16. It's not that law. Leviticus 24:16. He that blasphemeth, that's what they accused Him of. The name of the Lord, the big Lord, the capital L, big O, big R, big D. He shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone Him. As well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall he be put to death. What happened to that? We have a law. We have a law. It's a mock trial from beginning to end. Matthew 26. Matthew 26:57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led Him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Elders, high priests, scribes, religious leaders. It's a religious thing. The religious leaders. Religion kills and dooms and damns. Where they crucified Him, that saves. That's saved. But Peter followed Him afar off under the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priest, now we got the high priest, Caiaphas, the scribes, the elders, the chief priest, and the elder, and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put Him to death. They knew it was going to have to be a lie. There wasn't anything real. But found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And at last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest rose and said to him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said to him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the capital S, Son of Man, sitting on the right, another name for God, sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he's guilty of death. So that we don't have to.
Right.
He went to death so that we don't have to. Luke 23. So that we might live. Luke 23. Starting in verse 2. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the King of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people and teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. We have a law. We have a law. Back to John. John 19:8-9. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid. Well, I reckon he was. Where'd you say you was from? Whence comest thou? Oh, mercy. He's not from around here, is he? He's from somewhere else. I've never seen it on this fight. I bet he was more afraid when he figured out he came from heaven. I bet he was more afraid when he figured out he was looking at God. I bet he was more afraid. And went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, whence art thou? Are you kidding me? You from heaven? Really? And he gave him no answer. No answer. More afraid. More afraid. Hey, what if he was from above? What's Pilate going to do now? He's in a big mess now. The first question was back over in 1833. John 1833. Not the year 1833. They said, art thou King of the Jews? 1835. Am I a Jew? 1835, what hast thou done? 1837, art thou a king then? 1838, what is truth? Here's question number 6 now in verse 9. Whence art thou? I'll just go ahead and tell you, he's not from around here. He don't just live over at Poole. He's not just up there. He didn't just come from Russellville. He's not from around here, okay? He came a long way to visit us. The Lord Jesus answered 5 of those questions, but he didn't answer that last one because Pilate wasn't seeking salvation. He was seeking a way out. A way out. Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Pilate's messing around with dynamite. Really? So's everybody else here, looks like. Verse 10, John 19:10. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? The beating back in verse 1 many times killed the prisoner. They didn't live through the beating, the scourging. But the Lord made it through. Charlie Sanford always said he was a man's man. A man. And Pilate boasted of his power here, but Pilate himself was afraid of Caesar. Pilate was afraid of the Jews. He was afraid of popular opinion of the people. He was a captive of his own fears. Pilate was. Verse 11. Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Again, this does talk about degrees of punishment in hell, degrees of reward in heaven. Let's look at it in Luke 12. Luke 12:47-48. "And that servant which knew the Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." The Lord's going to be fair. The Lord will be fair. It will be a fair judgment. Degrees of punishment. Who did deliver the Lord? Was it Judas? Was it Caiaphas? Was it Annas? Was it religion? Who did deliver him that delivered him? Who is that? Maybe it's us. Maybe it's me. Verse 12. "And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, which in the Hebrew is Gabbatha. When he sat down, he showed he'd done made up his mind. The youth choir sings the song, I've made up my mind. That's to follow Jesus. Pilate done made up his mind not to. Not to. He sat down. He threw Jesus to the wolves. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Christ's name. Amen.